I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And I like to remind you always, all right, it is almost weekly nagging that time passes very, very quickly. We have now come to the end of February. If you didn't realize it, it's February. Remember, I was standing here telling you that very soon we will be celebrating Chinese New Year. We celebrated Chinese New Year. I said also very soon we will be celebrating, we will be commemorating Good Friday, commemorating Resurrection Sunday. And Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday are just a couple of weeks away. You see, so very quickly. And in next to no time, we are going to have our annual camp. And by the way, have you booked your leave for the annual camp? Yes, I trust you are praying towards coming to the Bible camp. We pray that your employers will grant you the leave so that you will be able to come. So make a very, very special effort to come and be blessed of the Lord. Now today, the topic is enjoy life. I know all of us surely want to enjoy life. No human being right in his mind does not want to enjoy life. All of us want to enjoy life. And how may we enjoy life? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. We read these few verses earlier on. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For he that will love life," in other words, he who desires to have a comfortable life, he who desires to have a quiet life, an everlasting life hereafter, and see good days, he who desires to see good days, days of spiritual prosperity, days of peace, what must he do? Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, "Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it." In other words, seek peace and go after peace, pursue peace. And verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." So, my dear friends, if we want to enjoy life, let's pay attention to God's word. God's word says, yes, refrain your tongue from evil, and then refrain your lips from speaking guile, and also eschew evil, turn away from evil, avoid evil, and do good, and seek peace, and pursue after peace. Now, what's the world's idea of enjoying life? I guess it is to eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't it true? Eat, drink, and be merry. The problem is people may want to enjoy life. They may have this idea of wanting to enjoy life, but still they may not be able to enjoy it. Now, a billionaire, for example, could have billions of dollars. He can afford the best cuisine under the sun, but he might not have appetite to eat. Yes, surely he's not going to enjoy life. A poor beggar, yes, a poor beggar who enjoys eating plain bread, I'm sure will be enjoying life far, far much better than a billionaire who has no appetite to eat. Then there are those who want to be merry. They say that the way to be merry is to go to the pub to drink. And so they go to the pub to drink, they drink themselves silly, yes, and then they drown their sorrows in the drink, and for a while their worries are all taken away, but only for a short time. And then their sorrows and their worries will come back, by this time with a vengeance, because the body and the mind, weakened by the drink, will require more drinks to get rid of to get relief, all right, to get temporary relief from the worries and from the sorrows. So, my dear friends, going to the pub is not the solution for getting no solution for enjoying life. Then there are those who say that they will enjoy life if only they can take it easy and be spared from the pressures of work. So what do? They take an early retirement. They have lots of money to last them for the rest of their lives. But all the while, of course, they have been very, very busy. And now that they have retired, they've become very, very bored. Nothing to do every day. Husband looks at wife looks at husband. Nothing to do. And then in a short time, They get very tired of staying at home looking at one another. Then they say to one another, "My dear, I think we better go back to work." And so they go back to work. So you see, people may be able to take it easy, but they still may not be able to enjoy life. So friends, how can we enjoy life the way God wants us to enjoy? Yes, when we talk about enjoying life, we must talk about enjoying life the way God wants us to enjoy. How may we be able to enjoy life? We must go back to the Maker for the answer. He made us and He knows us, knows what is the best for us. And He has given us the perfect recipe for enjoying life. And this recipe is contained in these verses that we read this morning. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Yes, the Word of God here says, "For he that will love life and see good days, he that desires, earnestly desires to have a comfortable life, a quiet life, everlasting life hereafter, and he who desires to see good days," in other words, peaceable days or peaceful days and days of spiritual prosperity, what must he do? He must refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from evil. His lips must not be speaking guile. And verse 11 says, "Let him eschew evil." In other words, turn from evil, avoid evil, and do good. Let him seek peace. Let him pursue peace. Let him go after peace. So what is this recipe? This recipe consists of what we say, what we do, what we think. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. What we say, what we do, what we think. Now let's consider what we say. Verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Now if you consult a traditional Chinese medical practitioner, I think the first thing that he asks you to do is to stick out your tongue, right? When you go and see him, stick out your tongue. And he examines your tongue. Apparently the tongue is able to tell the practitioner the kind of physical problems that you have. It is able to tell the practitioner your physical conditions. Well, friends, it is also true that the tongue also tells a lot about our spiritual condition. Did you realize that? The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, "O generation of vipers," he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees who were hypocrites. He said to them, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the wickedness of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the tongue speaketh. So if the heart is evil, naturally the tongue will be speaking evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaker. So you see, the tongue tells a lot about the spiritual condition of a person. Now, if we want to enjoy life, we must restrain our tongue from evil. And since the tongue speaks for the heart, it is very, very clear that the heart must refrain from evil. The tongue must refrain from evil. The heart must refrain from evil. All right? The tongue represents the heart or speaks on behalf of the heart. So if the tongue refrains from evil, what it means is the heart must refrain from evil. Now let us now see what kind of evil the tongue is capable of and see why the failure to refrain the tongue from speaking evil leads to a lot of unhappiness. First, we are capable of using the tongue to speak evil against God. Friends, we must have God on our side. We cannot speak against Him. If we really want to enjoy life, we want to have happiness, God must be on our side. He is our Creator. God wants His best for us. He wants to give us His best. He wants us to be His special people. And the key to enjoying life, my dear friends, is to be obedient to Him and to do His will. Now, if we want to enjoy life, these are the two necessary ingredients. We must obey Him and we must be doing His will. Yes, and He wants us to enjoy the greatest enjoyment in life. You know what's the greatest enjoyment in life? It is to glorify God And it is to enjoy him, not enjoy the things that he gives to us, but to enjoy him and to glorify him. This is the greatest enjoyment in life. Now, how can we enjoy life, my dear friends, if we speak against God? No way. There are those who are openly defiant against God, and as it were, they wag their tongues against heaven. How can God be pleased with such people who wag their tongues against heaven? When they wag their tongues against heaven, in actual fact, their heart is opposing heaven, because the tongue represents the heart. The tongue speaks on behalf of the heart. Now, the children of Israel were notorious for wagging their tongues against heaven in their wilderness wandering. They murmured and they murmured against God. They spoke against him. They tempted God and they provoked God to anger. Yes, as it were, they quarreled with God. Can you imagine? The children of Israel quarreled with God. They provoked him to anger. They tempted him. What it means is they put God on trial. Like a person is being put on trial in court. That is what is meant by they tempted God. They put God on trial. The tongue was evil. Now, why was the tongue evil? The tongue was evil because their heart was evil. Now, you remember what they did at the foot of Mount Sinai. Not long after they came out of the land of Egypt, they came to this place, Sinai, and then there they raised up a golden calf to worship. While Moses was up on Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments, Moses was away, the leader was away, and now they thought they could do what they wanted to do. They raised up a golden calf to worship. Now, why did they do that? My dear friends, they did that because they rejected God. Their heart was evil. They murmured, which was reflective of their wicked heart. They murmured against God. They rejected God. They rejected God, and they erected this golden calf to worship because they wanted to satisfy their own lust. They wanted to have their sexual orgies. That's why they did what they did. Yes, my dear friends, the children of Israel were indeed very, very wicked. Yes, they rebelled against the one true living God. And this rebellion was just not just for a short time. They murmured and they murmured throughout their wilderness wandering. And for their murmurings, God chastised them. God punished them because of their unbelieving, rebellious heart. God condemned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And all those who were adults, who were 20 years and above at the time when they left the land of Egypt, died in the wilderness wandering because of the murmuring tongue. Yes, which was reflective of a murmuring heart, a heart that was rebellious against the one true living God, a heart that was really very, very unbelieving in regards to their relation to the one true living God. Yes, you know, the children of Israel could have a very, very different experience if instead of wagging their tongue against the one true living God, when they were delivered from the land of Egypt, from the slavery of Egypt, they started to praise the one true living God, which they actually did. They praised the one true living God. If they praised the one true living God, gave thanks unto him, and continued to do so, and not stop doing so, instead of wagging their tongues against the one true living God, if they would only continue to praise and give thanks unto the one true living God, my dear friends, they would have been spared the trials of going through the 40-year wilderness wandering. Now, if they had praised and thanked the one true living God for their deliverance and were very, very grateful and continued to be grateful, they would have entered straight away into the promised land. Did you realize that? They would not have to go through the 40-year wilderness wandering. Friends, we may not be as defiant as the children of Israel in regards to the use of our tongue towards the one true living God. But friends, we can still be guilty of the same evil as the children of Israel were. Yes, we can be. You know, essentially, what was the sin of the children of Israel? Their sin was this. It was the sin of self-centeredness. They rejected the one true living God in order that they might satisfy their own lust. It was the sin of self-centeredness. Now, friends, I ask you and ask myself, aren't we guilty of the sin of self-centeredness? Aren't we? Now we show it by our speech. Now think of the number of I's that we make use of in our speeches. It is always I this, I that, I did this, I did that. And then when we are promoted and we have some success in life, what do we say? We say, I got to where I am today because of my own effort, because of my own ability, because of my own wisdom, because of my industry. I get to where I am today. Yes? We forget about God. We forget that promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but promotion comes from the one true living God. We forget that. How we need the Lord to cleanse us of this sin, even the sin of self-centeredness. Let's examine ourselves, my dear friends. Do we not have it, the sin of self-centeredness? Then, friends, how can we be enjoying life if by the way we live, we are asking God to chastise us, asking God to punish us? Yes, his punishment, my dear friends, realize this, his punishment on an egoistic, self-centered tongue, which is reflective of an egoistic and self-centered heart, can be very, very heavy. You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My dear friends, all scripture is given by inspiration, and all scripture is meant to teach us precious lessons, and we must learn precious lessons. And those lessons would include lessons from examples given in the Word of God. Now you take, for example, the case of King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, King Nebuchadnezzar was one who was extremely, extremely self-centered. Very, very egoistic, arrogant, self-centered. Yes, you remember in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. Good for us to turn to this verse. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. All right, please turn to this verse. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. You see how egoistic he was. What kind of tongue he had. Very egoistic, very self-centered. Yes. Daniel 4:30. Daniel 4:30. I read for you. The king here refers to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my majesty and for the honor of my majesty?" My dear friends, what did he say here? Is not this great Babylon a city that I built? I built this as a seat for the entire Babylonian Empire. And I built this city also for whom? For my royal family. And for what purpose? Or by whom? Or by what? By my own power, by the might of my power. And then for whom? For what? For the honor of my majesty. Not for the honor of the one true living God. Not by the power of God. Not for the honor of the one true living God. But by my own power. But for the honor of my majesty. It was an evil tongue. Yes, he forgot that it was God who actually placed him there. Yes, and that God put him in that position. He forgot that. And he attributed all the successes to himself. And for that, God punished him. God turned him, as it were, into a wild beast that fed on grass over a 7-year period. Friends, we would be asking for chastisement from the one true living God if we have an egoistic, self-centered tongue. Let us be very, very careful, my dear friends, if we have egoistic and self-centered tongues. Yes. We surely, my dear friends, will not be enjoying life if God's chastisement were to come upon us very, very heavily because of our egoistic and self-centered tongue. Then you think of the self-centered farmer. Remember the rich farmer? His land was very, very productive, had great producers, and he looked at his barns and said, "My barns are so small. Let me pull these barns down and let me build bigger barns. And then when all my big barns are filled up, then I'll tell my soul, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." You know what was the problem with this man? The problem with this man was that God did not figure at all in his plans. God was not in his plan at all. And then God said this to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." So, whose will these things be if you are taken away? You are a fool indeed. Now, how could a man like that be happy? How could a man like that be enjoying life? He might think that he was going to enjoy life, but as far as God was concerned, he was a fool. If God regarded him a fool, how could he be enjoying life? Now, friends, let us enjoy life. How? By giving thanks unto the Lord, by praising Him all the time. And remember, if we are having success and promotion, remember to give thanks unto the Lord, if we want to enjoy life and be very happy. Now, look at King Nebuchadnezzar again. This time he made the right speech. And this was after his 7 years of punishment. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and look at verses 34, 36 and 37. All right, I read for you verse 34. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. And he said, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. I praise and I honor him." And verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abuse." My dear friends, he made the right speech, and that was after the 7 year punishment that he experienced. Surely, if this man had right at the very beginning withheld his tongue from evil, if he had withheld his tongue from being egoistic and being self-centered, my dear friends, he would have been spared that punishment. He would surely be enjoying life if he had been right in the use of his tongue and if his heart was right with the one true living God. Friends, let us make the right speech also. Let us praise him, let us honor him and glorify him and give him the glory due unto his name always. Such a tongue reflects a heart that is right with God. And if our heart is right with God, my dear friends, God's blessings will surely come down upon us. And then we will be able to enjoy life. Now, to enjoy life, we must refrain our tongue from evil in our relation with others. We talk about enjoying life with reference to our relationship, first of all, with the one true living God. Now, we have to refrain our tongue so that we may be able to have a good relationship with other people, so that we may be able to enjoy life. The inspired writer James says that the tongue, if it is not controlled, is a one that is very, very unruly. Now, listen to the description of this unruly tongue. All right, it is very frightening. If you turn to James chapter 3, verse 6, very often we just read the Word of God very, very superficially, and then we are not frightened by what we read. But you look at this, it is really very scary. Look at James chapter 3, verse 6. James chapter 3, verse 6. All right. "And the tongue is a fire." Can you imagine? The tongue is a fire. Think about it, a fire. "A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, among the members of our body, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." The tongue is a fire. And where does it get its fire from? The last part, "and is set on fire of hell." So where does it get its fire from? It gets its fire from hell. Yes. Now, how can a person be enjoying life if his tongue is on fire, and that fire he gets from hell? Such a person, yes, surely a person using his tongue, which is on fire, using his tongue to slander, is not going to be a happy person. Yes, a slanderer is not going to be a happy person. Someone has this to say about slandering. He says this: three persons get killed in a slander. Three persons. The slanderer, the person who hears the slander and the person who gets slandered. So three persons get killed in a slander. And it's true, the slanderer gets the slanderer's tongue gets his fire from hell, and he slanders. And then he kills the reputation of the person who is slandered. And what does the person who slandered do? Does he keep quiet? Does he sit down and do nothing? Usually he does not. Usually he will take revenge. Usually he will counter slander. And when he counter slanders, what happens? The person who slandered in the first instance will have his reputation damaged. So his reputation is killed, his reputation is also killed. So two persons get killed, right? Now, sometimes the person who slandered does not just counter slander. He may not counter slander. What he does is he takes the person who slanders him to court. And if the person who slanders is found guilty, he has to pay big compensations for the damage that he has done. And then he gets bad publicity also. For being a slanderer, he has to pay huge compensations, and people would know that this man is a slanderer. He gets a bad reputation. His reputation is destroyed. So, slanderer gets killed, the person who slandered gets killed also, as far as their reputation is concerned. Now, then what about the person who hears the slander? Does anything happen to him? Yes, my dear friends, if his mind gets poisoned by the slander, if his mind gets poisoned by the slander and he starts to spread the slander also, he might get sued also. You see, so three parties get hurt in a slander. How could a slanderer be happy? Friends, if he starts a slander and then he has to think of how he may have to defend himself, my dear friends, he cannot be happy. How could a person be happy, my dear friends, if he has a sharp tongue? Now, can you be happy if you have a sharp tongue? I don't think you can be happy. There's a saying, people with sharp tongues end up cutting their own throats. Yes, people with sharp tongues end up cutting their own throats. Now, it's true. People with sharp tongues will cut the throats of other people, people who try to relate with them. Can you imagine a person having a sharp tongue and you get close to that person with sharp tongue? The next thing you know is your throat gets cut by him. All right. And so what do? You want to be near him again? No, you stay as far away from that person as possible. And in time, nobody wants to relate with him because anyone who relates with him will get his throat cut. So all will stay away from him, and in the end, he becomes very lonely, he becomes friendless, he becomes very, very unhappy. My dear friends, to enjoy life, we must really refrain our tongue from evil, which means, of course, our heart must be refrained from evil. Now, to enjoy life, the next thing we ought to do is to be careful in regards to what we do. So we have been talking about what we say. Let's be careful about what we do if we want to enjoy life. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Let him avoid evil. Let him turn away from evil. That is what is meant by eschew. And do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, the teaching of the word is clear. We are to stay away from evil as far as possible. The word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all the appearance of evil. You don't just abstain from evil. You abstain from appearance of evil. If a thing appears to be evil, you stay away from it. Don't get close to it. Now, I read about this man who owned a singing bird. Yes, I could have told you this before. A man who owned a singing bird. He enjoyed the singing bird very much, and he decided to get another bird, which is a non-singing bird. Not that it's a non-singing bird. It doesn't know how to sing yet. It knows only how to make lots of noises. And so this man decided that he would teach the singing bird, the non-singing bird, how to sing. So what he did was he brought the singing bird next to the non-singing bird. And you guess what happens? Yes, in next to no time, the singing bird stopped singing and started to make noises like the non-singing bird. Now the lesson is very clear, my dear friends. Let's stay as far away from evil as possible. The influence of evil is very, very strong. Very often too strong for us to contend with, too strong for us to resist. We must eschew evil. Turn away from evil, avoid evil. If we get near it, my dear friends, we might get into trouble, we might just fall into the evil. Now, if you want to enjoy life, yes, stay away from evil company. Stay away from books and television programs and websites that entice you to succumb to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Remember, my dear friends, you can lose everything if you caught evil. Yes, you can lose everything if you caught evil. If you caught evil, yes, you will realize that one evil will lead to another. As I said earlier on, the Word of God is inspired, is written for the purpose of instructing us and correcting us. Take, for example, the case of Lot. Yes, Lot lost everything. It started with his tempting himself and his family with the lust of the eyes. So what they did was they pitched their tent towards Sodom, that very, very attractive city, a very, very wicked city, but very, very attractive. Then next, he succumbed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The next thing was he was very, very attracted by the lust of the flesh. The next thing was he succumbed to the lust of the flesh. Of course, he moved into the wicked city of Sodom with his family, and in time, yes, he and family got integrated into the life of that city. Then what happened? God's anger was upon this wicked city. He brought his judgment down upon this wicked city by pouring down fire and brimstone. And Lot lost everything. He lost all his possessions. And he lost his wife also, not so much in the destruction, but his wife and Lot and two daughters, when they came out of the city because they were helped by the angels, pulled out by angels, Lot's wife's heart was still residing in the city of Sodom. Yes, physically she was out, but her heart was in the city of Sodom. She turned around and she was turned into a pillar of salt. My dear friends, you see this very, very clearly. Those who caught evil will soon find out that one evil leads to another. If they covet, if people covet and try to satisfy of the lust of the flesh, they might engage themselves in gambling. And then through gambling, they might lose everything. And then in order to, and then they might think of recovering the money. But how to recover the money lost through gambling? They don't have capital to start with, and so they say, I might have to steal. And so they steal. And then when they steal, they have to lie and they have to cheat. Yes, so one evil leads to another. How can a person enjoy life if he's caught in evil? The Word of God is never wrong. Yes, don't caught evil. Eschew evil. Turn away from evil. Avoid evil if you really want to enjoy life. Yes, I say this to all of us, particularly you young people. You want to enjoy life, my dear friends, eschew evil. Then there are those who caught evil by experimenting with drugs. They are actually succumbing to the lust of the flesh and succumbing to the pride of life. And it seems that taking drugs can be something that is very, very pleasurable, and I think it is one of the greatest pleasures, people say. You feel great, and some drugs, I'm told, can make you feel like Superman. So you feel very, very great. And then for young people, it is the coolest thing to do, to take drugs, right? When they go to parties, and when other people take drugs, if they don't take drugs, they don't look cool, so they must take drugs to look cool. And in next to no time, those who experiment with drugs will find out that they have become drug addicts. So one sin leads to another. And the Word of God says, thou shalt not kill. But what do? They kill their bodies by taking drugs. And then the Word of God says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But the drug addict can be so desperate to get his next fix that he will steal and he will lie and he will cheat. And some might even kill just to get their next fixes. Now, if you want to enjoy life, my dear friends, don't just eschew evil, don't just not caught evil, but friends, do good. The Word of God says, do good. Eschew evil, but do good. Yes. So, verse 11 says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Reverend Timothy told our very, very senior pastor, the founder of our Bible Presbyterian Church, the first pastor of Life Bible Presbyterian Church, had this to say about enjoying life. One year he gave this motto to his church. Yes, Life Bible Presbyterian Church. And this was the motto that he wanted his church to adopt. I don't know whether they finally adopted it or not, but this was the motto he gave to the church. Do something good for Jesus every day. If you want to really enjoy life, do something good for Jesus every day. Hard to remember? Easy to remember, right? Do something good for Jesus every day. The joyful people are those who aim to do something good for Jesus every day. You think about it. It's true. If you want to be very joyful, do something good for Jesus every day. And what is the best good that you can do for Jesus every day? I think the best good that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ every day is to try to share the gospel with people. Yes, that kind of experience is very rewarding, particularly when you share your gospel, the person comes to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the kind of joy that the Lord rewards you when you bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ is really joy that is unspeakable. And friends, you would also be enjoying life very, very much if you make it your aim always to want to encourage people in the faith, to enable people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You try it, my dear friends. Every time you go out and fellowship with Christians, every time you go to a meeting, you go into a fellowship meeting, if you have this aim in mind, today I'm going there to encourage people in the Lord. Not to have myself encouraged, but tell yourself, I go down there to encourage people in the Lord. I go down there to help people grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go with that aim, it's going to make a great difference to your participation in all the fellowship meetings. Yes, it's going to make your experience very, very joyful. Then, if you want to enjoy life, we must pursue peace, which also means we are to walk in peace. Yes, pursue peace, and we must walk in peace. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil, do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, to walk in peace, to pursue peace, to walk in peace, what does that mean, my dear friends? It means that we must have peace of mind. Now, what should we be thinking about? Yes, my dear friends, if our mind is filled with peace, we will indeed be enjoying life. A doctor in the West Coast of America took an informal survey of his patients. He asked them what was the paramount goal in their lives. 87% of them said the paramount goal in their lives was to have peace of mind. Peace of mind. That was what they wanted most of all. Friends, if we want to enjoy life, our mind must have peace. If our mind is not filled with peace, how can we be enjoying life? And our life can only be filled with peace if our mind is stayed on the Lord. In other words, our mind is lying on the Lord, stayed on the Lord, lying on the Lord. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Yes, because he trusts in you. For our mind to stay on him, our mind must be pure. If our mind is not pure thinking of other things, how can our mind be staying on him? Our mind must be pure. Our hands must be pure. Our heart must be pure. They must be necessarily cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the envy and all the pride and all the evil speakings must go. They must all necessarily be purged by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, then and only then can our mind be stayed on him. Then, for our mind to stay on him, my dear friends, our mind must be stayed on his word. Our mind must be stayed on his word. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man, in other words, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. My dear friends, how much do we stay our mind on God's word? How much do we delight in his word? How much do we meditate on God's word? Do we memorize God's word? Do we apply God's word to our hearts? Try it, my dear friends. Memorize God's word. Apply God's word to our hearts. Meditate on God's word day and night. And see if the Lord will not bless you with great joy that comes down from above. Then if you want peace of mind to enjoy life, the Prince of Peace must be ruling your life. Yes, he must be ruling your life. Now listen to the titles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to us in Isaiah 9:6. Now this was a prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah concerning the coming of the Messiah, concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You know that, right? The Prince of Peace. My dear friends, he is called the Prince of Peace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to make peace between us and the one true living God. And he did it by dying on the cross of Calvary for us. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, he reconciled us to the one true living God. Now this peace between us and the one true living God is the foundation of all other kinds of peace. Friends, you must have peace with God before you can talk of having peace of mind. My dear friends, if you have the peace of God ruling in your hearts, then you have true peace. Come what may, nothing is going to shake you. Come what may, nothing is going to take away this unspeakable joy that the Lord has given to you if the Prince of Peace is ruling over your heart. In the year 1823, this man, whose name was Horatio Spafford, who was a very, very successful Christian businessman, lost everything in the big Chicago fire. He lost everything. He was a wealthy, successful businessman, but he lost everything. But that didn't perturb him very much because this man had set his affections on things on high. Then shortly after that, he sent his wife and four daughters to go to Europe. Now the ship that they were traveling in midway through the Atlantic Ocean was rammed by an English vessel, and it sank. Within 4 hours, the ship sank. Yes. Mrs. Spafford was rescued, but Spafford's four daughters perished in that accident. Spafford was, of course, grieved, and he then decided to go to Europe to meet his wife in Paris. Then when his ship arrived at the place where the ship had sunk earlier on, yes, he was, of course, very, very grieved. Stricken with grief and with tears streaming down his cheeks, he wrote this very beautiful hymn, "It is well with my soul." Even in grief and in pain, nothing could take the joy away from this man whose heart was surrendered to the Lord. So, my dear friends, do you want to enjoy life? Really, really want to enjoy life? Then obey these words of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Let's look at these two verses again. I think we must read them, all right, so that we won't forget these two verses. If we really want to enjoy life, this is what we must do. 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 3, 10 and 11. Let's read together. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." All right, so our tongue must be refrained from evil. Yes, we must eschew evil, turn away from evil, avoid evil, and then do good. And then we must be seeking peace, pursuing peace. Yes, and then remember this, An evil tongue is reflective of an evil heart. And then remember also, if we have sharp tongues and we are very, very prone to slandering, we end up being very, very unhappy. And then the next thing that we must do is to, as we said, not only refrain our tongue from evil, friends, we have to eschew evil, avoid evil, turn away from evil, and then do good. And as we said, the best good that we can do is to share the gospel with people. Yes, it's a very, very rewarding and joyful experience. And when people come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, through our giving the gospel to them, the Lord is going to reward you with great joy. Yes, joy that is unspeakable. And then if you make it a point always to have this objective and you go out to relate with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage them in the faith, to enable, to help them grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to make your life very, very joyful. And how can you not be enjoying life if this is what is promised to you? Verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, all right? We didn't deal with this verse, but friends, if we really want to enjoy life, this is the promise given to us. Verse 12, I read for you, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." My dear friends, if our tongue is right with the Lord, our heart is right with the Lord, my dear friends, if you are righteous before the one true living God, verse 12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." He cares for us. He looks after us. He cares for the righteous. He is protective over the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. My dear friends, if God's ears are open to us all the time, will we not be a very happy people? I say we will be the most happy people under the sun. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies. Lord, we pray that you teach us so that we may be able to enjoy life on this earth. Lord, we pray that we may know how to enjoy life. And you have told us how we may be able to enjoy life. And that is to refrain our tongue from evil, refrain our heart from evil. And we know, Lord, we pray that you will enable us to take steps always to eschew evil, to turn from evil, to avoid evil, but instead to do good. And Lord, we know that you want us to do the best good, and that is to share the gospel with people and to aim to encourage other people in the most holy faith. And Father, we know that we will be enjoying life if we make it our aim to have a mind that is filled with the peace of the one true living God. And we know that we can have this peace if we keep our mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we keep our mind on his word, and we have the Prince of Peace ruling over us. And Father, we pray for those who do not know this peace yet. We pray that you will be very gracious to them, speak to their hearts, so that they will come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and be able to enjoy life as you would want them to enjoy. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.